Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on genetic roulette when we come back. You know, the average American household today, making between $22,000 and $30,000 a year, spends about 16% or $5,000 of its income on food. And if that household makes between $40,000 and $60,000 a year, they'll be spending about 10% or around $6,000 on food. Now, 12% of American households purchase organic produce. They buy organic products. They buy from health food stores. Organic produce salesmen and farmers markets. Now, you know, that translates into some 34 million people coast to coast and border to border. That's a big chunk. That's a big market. And already there are more than 4,000 small organic farms all over the country. And they're producing organic fruits, vegetables, and meats on 25 acres or less. And they're making $100,000 a year serving this growing specialty market. And some of these farms are as small as 3 acres. And they're in every state in the union. You know, Henry Kaiser summed it up very nicely when he said of his business success, he said, you find a need and fill it. And here's a need that's just waiting to be filled. And the law school has a program to teach you how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. This is a 5-day school. It includes lessons on marketing, business plans, growing organic foods, and the law and how it impacts upon these type of economic organizations. Why don't you call today and order our free 4-hour CD package. Remember, it's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. Best of all, it's free. That's the place to start. And you can get one, just call us. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967 to order yours. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we were talking about BT corn last time. BT corn is that special genetically engineered corn that has a gene spliced into it that causes the corn to produce its own toxin, its own pesticide that kills corn borers and other pests that will destroy corn plants. You know, that makes all the sense in the world. You know, if you stop and think about it for a minute, you've got plants that are out in your garden, and one day you go out in your garden, and here's this worm, like the tomato hornworm on your tomato plant. And it's cutting the stem off. You know, it chews around the outside of the stem. It kills the plant. And boy, does that make you mean. I get down there and I see those tomato hornworms and I grab them, throw them on the ground, jump on them, and jump up and down, and smash them into the ground. So if a guy comes along and he says, listen, how would you like to eliminate tomato hornworms in your garden? I mean, that's like saying, how would you like me to write you a check for $1 million? Of course I want some magical pesticide or program or product that will eliminate hornworms. Well, corn farmers are the same, you know. Corn farmer goes out there in his field and he sees a corn borer chewing up his corn out there and he says, well, look at that. And they cause millions of dollars worth of damage every year, you know, nationwide with all the corn farmers out there. So here's a need that needs to be filled. As old Henry Kaiser used to say, find a need and fill it. So the Monsanto people found a need. There's corn farmers all over America. And these corn farmers planting corn, have pests, insects that come into their fields and chew up their corn and cause them lots of damage, cost them money. And so Monsanto says, well, here's this need. If we could develop a corn that would be resistant to or would kill or eliminate these corn borers over here, farmers would flock to us to buy that seed. Now remember, we were talking yesterday about this thing of the young fella from the Bronx. The little kid grows up and he goes to college. He becomes a biologist. Now he goes to the job fair. He's looking for a job. Monsanto hires him. And now here he is working for Monsanto. And so his boss comes in and says, you know, we'd like to develop a seed with an insecticide in it. We'd like to gene splice this insecticide in. Now there's a thing called BT. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'll just tell you the initials here. It's BT. It's a natural organic compound that's found out in nature. Nothing unusual about it. But it's a natural insecticide. And so scientists, biologists, they know about that. And so they say, if we could get this BT, which occurs naturally over here in switchgrass or naturally in this other thing over here, if we could get that into the corn. Now, God, the creator, that's for those of us that are intellectual savages and believe in God instead of evolution. This God over here, he's a pretty smart guy, He's created a lot of life forms. In fact, there's millions of these life forms all over the planet. And some life forms have this BT already in it naturally, and some forms don't. And so, scientists, they come along and they say, well, it just hasn't evolved in corn, but it's evolved in this other plant over here. And so we come along, we'd like to play God. We'd like to mix and match. We can see that the Creator God has made a mistake. That, he had a good idea when he put this BT over here in the switchgrass or this other plant over here, but he didn't put it in the corn where we really need it. So the young kid from the Bronx, he comes up and he says, well, I think I can gene splice. He's already gene spliced Atlantic salmon or flounder. It's Atlantic flounder genes into Flavor Saver tomatoes. So he says, well, let's try it with the corn. And so he finds a plant that has this BT, and he takes the gene out of it, and he splices it into the corn, and viola. They've got this corn. And they've gene spliced this BT. The BT works like a shot. It kills the corn borers. It kills the root borers. And so the corn is out in the field, and it's just one. The corn farmer loves it. Now see, the corn farmer, he doesn't feed that corn to his cows. He's a specialty farmer. See, he just grows corn. That's all I do is just grow corn. He sells that corn to Archer Daniels Midland or ConAgra or somewhere, some elevator. The people in the elevator, they're not specialists. They're not biologists. They just handle the corn. They don't grow it. They don't feed it. They buy it from the corn farmer for $3 and they sell it to the corn feeder, the cattle feeder, for $6, and they make a profit off of it. And now the guy that's feeding this corn, in the feedlot, or he's using this corn up making tortillas or something like that. He doesn't grow it. He doesn't gene splice it. He doesn't profit off of it, buying and selling it. He just buys it and makes tacos out of it. And so what we have here is we have a business food chain. Nobody is particularly responsible for the ultimate outcome of you getting cancer from this product. You can't blame the farmer. You can't blame the scientist. You can't blame Monsanto. You can't blame... Who are you going to blame? Everybody in the food chain here is just trying to make a buck. And Monsanto is filling a need. There may be an ethical question here. I'm not in favor of Monsanto at all. Don't think I'm sitting here, rooting for Monsanto. I think that somebody along the line here needs to say, no, we're not going to do that. But you can see the logic behind the food chain here. The corn farmer out here, he doesn't know why corn borers are eating his corn, but they're doing it, and it's costing him a lot of money. Monsanto says, here's a need, let's fill it. And the geneticist, the biologist says, well, I think I can do it. Monsanto says, well, we'll pay you if you can. And so the ADM company says, corn's corn, And the people that are buying the corn say, well, the cows eat the corn, they get fat on it, and so what's the problem? Now, there's some side effects that come down from this BT corn. Now, we explained that to you yesterday, that when they tested rats on this BT corn, they had some problems with the rats. Now, are there any problems with sheep and cows and with humans and, you know, on up the line? And the answer is yes. Yes. See, when Jeffrey Smith first wrote Seeds of Deception, we were speculating on, oh my God, we've never tested this. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We're all becoming guinea pigs. Well, now, you know, 7 or 8 years later, we can come back and say, okay, well, now we've been feeding the stuff out for a while, and now we've been testing it and watching it and seeing how it reacts, and so now we can say, yeah, it kills cows, sterilizes pigs, kills rats and mice, and it kills people. How's that? Now, you know, we've covered this before. Aspartame, you know, was put on the market in the same way back in 1982. You know, the good folks over at Searle, I believe it was. Same outfit, Monsanto and Searle. Monsanto bought out the Searle Pharmaceutical Company. And a guy by the name of Donald Rumsfeld, in the early years of the Reagan administration, he got into the politics of it, and he pulled some strings, and he got aspartame put on the market. Now, aspartame has 92 symptoms, 92 diseases, 92 problems that it causes, kills lots of people. It's approved by the FDA. It's a part of the food supply, and it's going to stay there. And if you don't like it, then you avoid aspartame and artificial sweeteners. The average guy on the street goes to school. He doesn't know there's a problem with artificial sweeteners and couldn't care less. Tastes good to him. And the same thing is true with genetically modified foods. You know, it's in your food supply, and it's going to stay there. I'm not going to get it out. Ralph Nader's not going to get it out. The FDA and the Department of Agriculture is not going to get it out. Someday there will be some labeling. There's going to be a huge outcry over labeling one of these days. And so those of us that are concerned about it right now, we're not eating them now, and we can avoid them, and so can you. That's why I thought I would make this report to you. So let's take a look here at mice-fed GMBT potatoes had intestinal damage. Mice were fed either GM potatoes engineered to produce the BT toxin or natural potatoes spiked with BT toxin. Both diets created abnormal and excessive cell growth in the lower part of their small intestines. Similar damage to the human small intestine might result in incontinence or flu-like symptoms and may be precancerous. And this study overturns the assumption that BT toxin is destroyed during digestion and is not biologically active in mammals. Now, agricultural laborers in six villages who picked or loaded BT cotton reported reactions of the skin, eyes, and upper respiratory tract. Some laborers required hospitalization. Employees at a cotton gin factory take antihistamines every day. And one doctor treated 250 cotton laborers for this BT reaction. Turn the page. After the cotton harvest in parts of India, sheep herds grazed continuously on BT cotton plants. Reports from four villages revealed that about 25% of the sheep died within 1 week. Post-mortem studies suggest a toxic reaction. 1 week, 25% of the sheep. In 2003, approximately 100 people living next to a BT cornfield in the Philippines developed skin, respiratory, intestinal reactions, and other symptoms while the corn was shedding pollen. Blood tests of 39 people showed an antibody response to BT toxin, which supports but does not prove a link. The symptoms reappeared in 2004 in at least four other villages that planted the same corn variety. And villagers also attribute several animal deaths to the BT corn. And then more than 20 farmers in North America report that pigs fed GM corn varieties had low conception rates, false pregnancies, or gave birth to bags of water. both male and female pigs became sterile, and some farmers also report sterility among cows and bulls. 12 cows in Germany died mysteriously when fed BT corn. 12 dairy cows died on a farm in Hesse, Germany, after being fed a diet with significant amounts of a single GM corn variety, BT-176. Other cows in the herd had to be killed due to a mysterious illness. Syngenta, the producers of BT-176, compensated the farmer for part of his losses, but did not admit responsibility for the cow's deaths. And in spite of demands by the farmer and even public protests, no detailed autopsy reports were ever revealed or made available. All right, now those are some of the reports that we have received. They're reported here in the book called Genetic Roulette. I should tell you that Genetic Roulette is available and is published now 2007, so it's a brand new book. You can get a copy at bravenewbookstore.com. That's bravenewbookstore.com. That's their webpage. They're in Austin, Texas. If you need their address, it's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Now, I got a phone number. That's where I usually start, is with a telephone number. The number is 512-480-2503. Now, again, that's area code 512-480-2503. Now, you can probably get this book. I don't get paid now by Brave New Bookstore for putting their name out there for you. The reason I suggest that Brave New Bookstore be on your, you know, be in your card catalog somewhere, is that they handle a lot of these kinds of books that are politically incorrect. So if you can't get this book, you know, if Barnes & Noble isn't handling it because they get a payoff from Monsanto, you can get it here from a Brave New Bookstore. I suspect that you can probably get the book from Barnes & Noble or some other bookstore. So if you've got one locally, well, go ahead and buy it from them. But I think you need the book. It's $30, but it'll be well worth your time. Now let's zero in on the BT aspect of this story. Now the BT corn is the big seller. Now there's four crops. You ought to write these four crops down. Four crops that are genetically modified. Cotton. 80% of the cotton produced in the United States is now GM cotton. Now, I don't know what that does to you when you wear it. I don't have a clue. Nobody's done any studies or research. We don't have any idea. But we do know this. Cotton seeds are used to make cottonseed oil, and cottonseed oil is put into a lot of products. I mean, you can go into the store and pick up a can of Boston baked beans, and it may be that the oil in the beans is cottonseed oil, or you may pick up a little pie, you know, at the get-and-go store, you know, a little cherry pie or something like that. Look at the ingredients, and a lot of times it'll say palm oil, or canola oil, or vegetable oil, or cottonseed oil. So anything that has cottonseed oil in it ought to be avoided. I mean, any product. Got any cottonseed oil in it, don't eat it. That's cotton. The next is soybeans. About 80%, 60 to 80% of the soybeans grown in America now have been genetically modified. So we avoid all soybean products. I mean, if it's got soy lecithin, soy anything, don't buy it. Unless it's got organic written on the label. Now remember, 20% of the soybeans are GM free. They're organic. So if the label says that it's organic, it's okay. But if the label doesn't say organic, then don't take anything that's got cottonseed oil or got any soy products in it. Next is corn. And this corn now is about another 60 to 80%. I think it's around 60% of the corn in the country is genetically modified. Now, our problem is this. The guy that produces the non-genetic corn, or the non-genetic soybeans, unless they've got a market and they're selling it to a health food industry outlet, they just sell it and it goes into all the rest of the soybeans. So they're just mixed. They're just mixed over here in the elevator. Now, a lot of guys are selling their product, clean product, to Health Valley, for instance, or some other outfit that's producing organic foods. And, of course, the organic suppliers are contracting with these farmers for the express purpose of eliminating GM foods. That's why they put organic on their labels. And then the fourth one here is canola oil. Now, I think it's around 80% of the canola oil being produced in the country comes from GM. That's genetically modified products. All right, so avoid canola, cottonseed. That's those two products are oil. Canola oil and cottonseed oil. And then soybean oil should be avoided because soybean oil is the number one oil sold in the country. And about 80% of all the soybean plants, they're going to be GM. And then you got corn. Now, that's corn. They produce a tremendous amount of oil. And sugar. There's sugar that comes out of it. There's also corn oil. So if you have to go to the grocery store, and here you are in the supermarket, and you see corn oil, cottonseed oil, canola oil, or soybean oil, you avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And then there's other products that are made from these products. For instance, you know, the big one, I guess, would be corn tortillas or corn chips. So, we use corn chips here and corn tortillas, and so we just go to the health food store to buy it, and it's organic, and so therefore we can avoid the GM. And then we look on the labels, and if it says soybean oil, corn oil, or cottonseed oil, or canola oil, then we don't buy the product at all. Zero. Zilch. If the product says it's got soybean oil, or corn oil, or canola oil, and it says organic on it, well, then that manufacturer has made it a point to buy product that is non-GMO to make the oil that is that has the label organic on it. So if it's organic, it's okay. If it isn't organic, it isn't. Now, there might be a couple of exceptions to that rule, but if you follow that guide, you can pretty well avoid genetic modification. Now, I got to tell you a little story over here. One time I went into the consumer market over in the Mountain Home, and they had pineapples there. Now, I'd heard that the pineapples coming out of Hawaii were irradiated. And so I asked the produce man, I said, are these pineapples irradiated? And he said, those pineapples are FDA approved. So I thought, well, okay. And I said to the guy, I said, okay, they're FDA approved. Now, are they irradiated? He said, they're FDA approved. I thought, well, maybe the needle in his brain here got stuck in the groove. And I said, okay, I've heard that twice now. What I want to know is, are these pineapples, do they come from Hawaii? And he says, I don't know where they come from. Okay, so we don't know where they come from. Now, do you know whether they're irradiated or not? And he said, those pineapples are FDA approved. Everything that we have here is approved by the FDA. I mean, that's like saying, you know, this loan is approved by the mafia. This loan, you know, is approved by the Cosa Nostra. I mean, I can understand that. You're a loan shark. What I want to know is it irradiated? Now, you know, this was quite a little experience for me because this guy evidently had been trained that if anybody asks, you tell them this is FDA approved. This is Department of Agriculture approved. This is Food and Drug Administration approved. Well, I don't doubt that. Hell, I don't doubt that at all. The FDA has approved aspartame. That doesn't mean it's good for you. They've approved fluoride and chlorine in your water. That doesn't mean it's good for you. And furthermore, a lot of people have allergies to peanuts and various other things. And that's why we have labels on these products. Because, you know, if you've got asthma, or you've got an allergy to peanuts, or you have an allergy to something, you need to look on the label to see, is this product, does it contain one of these allergens? And so you're trying to avoid that. Well, you know, I'm the same way. I don't want to eat irradiated foods. And they know that there's about 12% of the population. I mentioned this to you. 34 million people in this country avoid that crap like AIDS, herpes, and VD. But they want to sell it to us. They don't want to lose that 12% of the market. So what they're trying to do is deceive us. Well, okay. I don't blame them. I mean, you know, if I had a product that was a poor product, I wouldn't want to run around bragging, hey, listen, my product is really poor, but buy it from me because I need the money. So here's the point. The consumer produce man over here would never get off of the stuck in the groove. It's approved by the FDA. 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 Okay, I understand that. What I want to know is the damn stuff irradiated or not. And he never would tell me. So I didn't buy the pineapple, and then I walked out of the consumer store, and I never went back to another consumer's market, ever. I started buying from Albertson or somebody else. Now, they may do the same thing. I've been in other stores, and the guy will say, I don't know if that's got irradiation or not. The consumer employees had evidently been programmed, indoctrinated, to tell us so that they didn't deceive us, and the guy never deceived me. He just wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't tell me. And I said, you know, if I come in here and ask you, is this product got peanuts in it? And you say, well, I'm not going to tell you. By God, I'm not going to buy from you. Those peanuts, you know, are deadly to some people. And they can put you in the hospital. And so if you're looking on a label and you say, this product is manufactured in a factory or on a machine that also processes peanuts and cashews and other nuts, that's an important label identification or identifier on there for some people. Now, to me, it doesn't make any difference. I eat peanuts. I eat nuts. I don't have any problem with it. But to the guy that does, he needs to know. And I'm a guy that needs to know. I'm one of that 12%. And I don't want to eat GM foods. And unfortunately, our Congress is in bed with the food companies and their, you know, Kraft and Hunt's and so on. And they're not going to tell us. But that doesn't mean that we can't figure it out. Now, what are some of the problems that we see? Now, we saw the mouse and the rat studies. I've reported on that. But let's take a look here at the BT cotton and the BT corn feed and so on. I had a guy here one time. I'll tell you about these pigs over here. Now, he had a ConAgra ration, and this is before the BT corn and before the genetic modification. But here's the bottom line. Most of the corn that's grown here in the United States is hybrid corn. That's bad, but it's not as bad as genetically modified. But anyway, he's feeding pigs up in Iowa, and one day the pigs start to drop over dead. You know, they're good, healthy looking pigs, and they're plenty fat and everything looks good, but they just fall over, kick a couple of times, and die. So they took them into the laboratory, and they came to the conclusion that they were dying from protein deficiency. Well, protein deficiency, they give these pigs a ration, you know. The feed truck comes out from Purina or ConAgra or some big company, you know, that mixes feed. And these feeds, you know, are scientifically balanced. They've got all the vitamins and minerals and everything they need in there, but The ConAgra ration had 6% protein. Well, pigs can't live on 6%. They have to have a minimum of 8%. Now, good, healthy corn has a protein content of 16%. And then it goes down from there. Well, anyway, this pig ration only had a 6% protein, and that was the cause of the problem. And that's why the pigs were dying. As soon as they raised the protein content up to 8% or more, well, then the pigs thrived and everything was fine. Now, the same thing is true here with this GM stuff. Now, listen to some of these stories. Farmers report pigs and cows become sterile from GM corn. Well, now, if cows and pigs are becoming sterile by being fed this GM corn, when we take the same GM corn and make tortillas out of it, and make corn chips out of it, and then sell it to you here in the supermarket, what does that do to you? Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, there's no empirical evidence that GM corn causes sterility in humans. But, yeah, it causes sterility in pigs and cows, but we don't know that it causes sterility in humans. Okay. Why don't you start eating genetically modified corn chips, and let's do that for 5 or 10 years and find out what happens to you. Now, that's my modus operandi. I want to watch you people out there. I want to watch you people eat this GM-modified stuff for about the next 10 or 20 years. I'd like to watch the long-term study. And if Monsanto won't do the study, or ConAgra, or ADM, or somebody else, the Department of Agriculture, or the FDA, then I'm going to watch you become the guinea pig, and let me watch you become sterile, and then I'll know that I don't want to do that. Now, I don't have to become sterile to figure out that if it does it to pigs and cows, it may not do it to me, but I don't want to take the risk. That's my position. I don't want to take the risk. If you want to take the risk, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. Now, if you're like I am and you don't want to take the risk either, well, then maybe it might be worth a little time, effort, and energy on your part to figure out whether or not they've got GM seed, or whether it's BT corn, or whether we've got genetically modified product here, and then maybe you want to avoid it. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It gives us, or gives you, your radio log schedule and archives. You can get that off of our webpage, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, health, history, economics, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Now, that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine or mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station, but I think they should. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing a book here called Genetic Roulette, written by Jeffrey Smith. He wrote another book over here called Seeds of Deception. Both of these books are available, remember, from more than likely Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com or your local book dealer. But if you run across one of these books that I review and you can't find it anywhere, you go down here and they say, well, we don't have anything like that and we can't get it or whatever. You go to Brave New Bookstore. They're in Austin, Texas. And they specialize in these underground books. All the books that you can't get anywhere else, you'll get them from BraveNewBookstore.com. And their telephone number is 512-480-2503. That's 512-480-2503. 2503. This book has got a number on the back of it here. It says 2795 here in the United States. And I told you this the other day. I said, if this book was $100, it's worth every dime. If it was $100. It isn't. It's $30. Figure $35 maybe max with shipping and handling. All right, I said we take a look at these pigs. Now listen to this pig story here. In the early spring of 2001, the conception rates of sows, those are called female pigs, on Jerry Rossman's Iowa farm dropped from 80% to 20%. Most animals had false pregnancies, some delivered bags of water, some stopped menstruating altogether. Rossman, an animal nutrition consultant, along with veterinarians and nutritionists, did extensive testing. They ruled out common causes of reproductive problems. Rossman had fed his hogs GM corn since 1997 when he switched to BT Liberty Link varieties from Garst hybrids in 2000. That's when the problem started. It persisted through most of 2001 with several brief upswings in pregnancy rates, coinciding with the times when sows were fed the previous year's 1999 corn. Four nearby farmers told Rossman they too were having hog conception problems and were using Garst corn. Right after the Farm Bureau spokesman ran a story on Rossman in 2002, other farmers called complaining of sterile pigs. As media coverage expanded, so did the calls. USDA microbiologist Mark Rasmussen said after Jerry's incident was publicized, about a dozen farmers in the Midwest contacted me to discuss similar problems. Rossman spoke with at least 20. He said many had consulted veterinarians and conducted tests, and that sterility affected both males and females. Some noted that the problem went away when they switched corn varieties. Not all were using Garst, but all were using GM with similar genetic backgrounds. Now, three farmers reported similar issues with cows. In September of 2005, Rossman fed some of the 2,000 corn to three cows just after they gave birth. He said they should have started menstruation after 3 months and had been bred. 8 months later, however, they had not started cycling and were sold. Now, a semen check of the bull fed the same corn showed that it was nearly infertile. Rossman also fed 11 heifers to corn after they were weaned at 8 months, and although they usually start menstruating at 9 or 10 months, this never started. They were sold at 13 months. Corn tests show anomalies. Now, the basic toxicity tests on Rossman's corn showed no abnormalities. At one lab, after their standard test for the fusarium mold repeatedly came up negative, they let the test plates incubate for an additional 48 hours. The corn developed huge mold growth colonies of an uncommon strain. Samples from about 15 farms with animal reproductive problems all came up with the same positive for the mold. But the technicians could not identify an associated toxin. Now, researchers were unsure if the mold was the cause of the problem or it was simply a marker for another cause. Research at Baylor College of Medicine offers another possible explanation. Scientists reported that rats in our animal facility neither breed nor exhibit reproductive behavior when housed on corn cob bedding. Tests on the material revealed two classes of compounds. I won't try to pronounce either one, which, when isolated, disrupted endocrine function in male and female rats. So they stopped the estrous cycle, similar to the menstrual cycle in female humans, at concentrations approximately 200-fold lower than classical phytoestrogens. One compound also curtailed male sexual behavior, and both substances contributed to the growth of breast and prostate cancer cell cultures. The crushed corn cob used at Baylor was likely shipped from central Iowa, where many of the animal reproductive problems were being reported. Researchers isolated the same compounds from store-bought fresh corn, corn tortillas, and genetically engineered corn. It was not destroyed by pressurized steam, that's called autoclaving, and it is believed to be present in corn oil. The amount varied significantly in different lots or varieties of corn cob and genetically engineered corn. The differences, they say, may serve to limit or enhance exposure and potential toxicity. In the summer of 2001, Garst was given a sample of Rossmann's corn for analysis. About 6 weeks later, Rossmann's agronomist was told by Garst that the sample had been regrettably lost. Well, isn't that just special? Well, when Rossmann offered to furnish more samples, the company did not return his calls. When the pig sterility story hit the TV news the following year, the company announced that they had done an investigation and concluded that their corn was not at fault. Rossmann's corn was collateral for a USDA Farm Service Agency loan. The local office had granted a loan extension, but the local manager told Rossmann that the national head of operations ordered that it be confiscated instead. A driver revealed that it was sent to a Cargill plant to be processed for human consumption. The FSA refused to provide Rossmann with the records related to his corn. It took 6 separate Freedom of Information Act requests, 2 from Rossmann, 1 from each of 3 nonprofit organizations, and 1 from the U.S. congressman, for the FDA to turn over part of this file. Several documents omitted important data. Rossmann has declared bankruptcy, and no further studies evaluated whether certain GM corn varieties may create reproductive problems in livestock or in humans. Now, here's what I really liked about this story. Notice here, when the pig sterility story hit the TV news the following year, the company announced that they had done an investigation and concluded that their corn was not at fault. Well, what in the hell would you expect? Gee, we have done an investigation and we have discovered that our Corvair is unsafe at any speed. Is that what you expected from General Motors over the unsafe at any speed story? Remember that guy, what was his name, Ralph Nader? Of course the company is going to deny any responsibility. Because if they admitted to it, well then all these farmers would sue them. By denying responsibility, the farmer then has to prove that that corn is the cause. Now, I don't need a guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. All I need is a suspicion that it might cause some reproductive problem in me or in my children or in somebody else. And is this reproductive problem permanent or is it just temporary? I mean, you know, stop and think about it. It could well be that the sterility problem is just temporary. Hell, then they could sell it as a contraception, couldn't they? But what if it's permanent? I mean, you know, what if this BT causes permanent sterility? Is that what you want to feed to your 14-year-old daughter? Your 16-year-old son, you know? I mean, come on, let's be intelligent people. The truth of the matter is, we don't know what the hell it does. But we know it causes sterility in pigs. And we know that there's a cover-up. We know that you can't get the information from the Department of Agriculture or the FDA or the testing labs through the Freedom of Information Act. And some samples are going to, oh, we regret that we lost the sample. Okay, so Rossmann said, okay, I'll give you another one. Now they won't even call him back. Listen, when you find out that you have a legal liability, you know, you want to put that as far behind you and put as much space between you and the possible cause as possible. And there isn't a lawyer worth his salt, you know, that would tell any client to go ahead and admit the truth. Go ahead, tell the truth. Hell, any lawyer is going to say, shut up. Deny it. Make them prove it. Now, Rossman's corn was collateral for a USDA Farm Service loan, and the local office had granted a loan extension, but the local manager told Rossman that the national head of operations ordered that it be confiscated instead. So a driver revealed that the confiscated corn, which was contaminated, was sent to a Cargill plant to be processed for human consumption. Hell, that's what they did with that fluoride. You know, it's a deadly toxic poison. We got to pay to dispose of it, so what we'll do is put it in the water supply and let the people of America drink it. That's the way to get rid of it. So you don't put the fluoride out there in concentrations that kill people, you know, in 36 seconds, like, you know, you take a drink of water, grab your throat, gasp twice, and fall on the floor dead. No. You put it in the water supply, and hell, this guy dies from some kind of a disease when he's 47 years old, and there's no connecting link between fluoride and the disease or fluoride and the dead body. That's what they did with this BT corn. Now, it was causing sterility in this guy's pigs, so they confiscated it, took it, and sold it, and put it into the human food supply. Well, isn't that just real special? Now, you'd think if this stuff was confiscated, it ought to be destroyed, and destroyed of in a toxic waste dump someplace where it isn't going to harm anybody. No, we don't do that. Now, listen, if you people want to eat corn chips, you know, made by Cargill, containing GM corn over here that's been confiscated and condemned, you know, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. I just came here to report to you that that's what they're doing. So if that bothers you, do something about it. If it doesn't bother you, you know, forget about it. 12 cows in Germany died. All right, and so now we got cows dying over in Germany. The headline here on the article says 12 dairy cows died on a farm in Hesse, Germany after being fed a diet with significant amounts of a single GM corn variety called BT-176. Gottfried Glockner started growing GM corn variety BT-176 in his fields in Wolfersheim in the state of Hesse, Germany in 1997. He increased the amount over the years, and in 2000 and 2001, he switched over entirely to the GM variety. The farmer reports that his cows had become sick more frequently after being fed the maize harvest from the year 2000. Within 4 months of being fed BT-176 corn and silage made from corn plants, 5 cows died in 2001 and another 7 in 2002. Milk production also decreased in some cows, and others were slaughtered due to an unidentified illness. All right, so let me pause right here, put a bracket around that paragraph. Let me tell you, if you have 100 cows in your herd, and in the course of a year, one cow dies for any reason. Just one cow dies. That is so rare, so unexplainable, that we would call the vet out and say, hey, what the hell caused this cow to die? That's 1%. We don't even have a 1% death rate in a 100-cow dairy herd. I've been milking cows for years and years and years, boys and girls, and you know, once in a while I have a cow die. I don't deny it. Once in a while, a cow dies. Last time, I had a heifer. Last year, died. And I had one die the year before heifers. Now, sometimes what will happen is, especially with this net wrap on hay, cows will chew on that plastic. That netting is made out of plastic. And they get these plastic ropes now, you know, rather than... And they'll chew on that. Now, they have what's known as an ileocecal valve. You know, that's a gut valve that closes off your intestines from time to time. And this plastic will get into that ileocecal valve, and it interrupts it, and it either can't open or can't close. And cows die from it. It's an intestinal disorder caused by the netting or by the plastic rope. Well, okay, so what we do here, we're pretty cautious and careful. We get all the netting off of the bales, or we get all of the ropes picked up, and we keep them away from the cows and the calves so they don't chew on them and then don't eat them. So that pretty well solves the problem. So when one dies, we say, oh, God, he got into some netting or something, you know. But here again, it's very rare. Now, here's a guy in Germany I don't know how many cows this guy's got, but you know, to lose 7 cows in 1 year is just unheard of. There's something dead wrong here. And hell, it doesn't happen once, it happens to him twice. And he says he's got, within 4 months of feeding this BT-176 corn, made from corn plants, 5 cows died in 2001, and 7 more in 2002. Now that's 12 cows. Now I just told you, I said, if you lost 1 cow a year, you know, that would be unusual. That's rare. There's something wrong. Hell, when I have a big heifer down here, you know, die, well, there's something wrong. But, you know, by the time you call the vet out and have him cut her open and autopsy the cow, you know, you got to pay him $200 or $300 to do that. And, you know, $300 to find out that your cow died from eating a plastic rope, you know. I don't need to pay $300. She's dead. She ain't coming back. But what we would want to know is what's causing this so that I can eliminate that, I can get to the cause of it and cure that problem. Well, most of us guys know that net wrapping and those ropes are deadly to our stock, so we're very, very careful to keep them away from them. Now, here's a guy, you know, his cows are dead. He says, well, now what I've done different here is I'm feeding this BT corn. There's paragraph 2. The corn plots were part of GM field trials, which were being managed by the Robert Koch Institute on behalf of the corn's producer, Syngenta. After reporting the deaths of 5 cows to the institute, Syngenta gave the farmer 40,000 euros. Although this was to compensate him for the deceased cows, reduced milk, and vet bills, the company did not admit responsibility for the problem. Well, hell, you know, if I thought I had some kind of a problem, you know, I'm causing you a damage, I will come over and pay you for the damage and then deny that I had any responsibility involved in it. Any lawyer is going to tell his client that. Now, the Syngenta Corporation, you know, this big company over here, they've got field trials, so they've got a problem with their product. What they need to do is to take that product off the market right away. It's called a product liability. Now, we buy product liability insurance, and I'm sure this big corporation went to Lloyd's of London and said, hey, listen, here's what we're doing. And we need product liability insurance in case we have a problem here with our product. Now, as soon as you have that product, the insurance company is going to drop you like a hot potato. Insurance companies ain't stupid, you know. They can all count, so they don't have to take their shoes off either. All right, so now the Syngenta company now, they deny that they're responsible. In February of 2002, Glockner stopped feeding his cattle to GM corn. But by October of 2002, another 7 cows had died. The farmer, who by this time was over 100,000 euros out of pocket, called on Syngenta and Robert Koch Institute to conduct a proper investigation. Now, unfortunately, the institute did not impound the dead animals or the corn, and they did not undertake comprehensive tests on the soil from the farm or any dung samples from the cows in question. Only one dead cow was examined, and although additional tissue samples were sent to the University of Göttingen, they vanished in unexplained circumstances, according to a Greenpeace report. Okay, well, let me explain that one to you. Let's suppose that you're the Syngenta company. And there's some real question as to whether or not you've got a product over here that's causing damage. And so they take some tissue sample, and they take it into the laboratory, and they absolutely confirm that, yeah, here's the mold, here's the toxin, here's what's causing it, it comes from your product. Here's the smoking gun. What would you do? You know, what would you do? Here's the smoking gun. I mean, if anybody gets hold of this, they can sue me, and it's heads I win and tails you lose. Well, if you had a head on your shoulders at all, you'd go get the tissue sample and destroy it. You'd eliminate it. You'd deny it ever existed. You'd get rid of it. And then you'd quit making those tests. And you'd obfuscate. And you'd lie. And cheat and steal and do everything that you possibly could so that you didn't have to pay these people. And it isn't that it's just one guy. See, this company out here is selling this stuff to hundreds of farmers. Not just one. If it's one guy, we give him $1 million and chalk it up to experience. But when you got 100 or 200 or 1,000 or 2,000 out there, and they're all losing 100,000 or 200,000, my God, we're talking about millions and pretty soon billions of dollars of liability. Well, that's going to bankrupt us. So, you know, Monsanto or Syngenta or anybody else, you know, faced with liquidation and bankruptcy is going to do whatever they have to do to survive. I tell my students, you know, that there's famine coming, and when famine comes, the worst enemy that you have are going to be your neighbors. Kind of like the parable of the 10 virgins, you know. These 10 virgins go out, and 5 of them have oil and 5 of them don't. And so, when the bridegroom comes, the 5 that don't have any oil, they go over to the 5 that have oil, and they say, well, sell us some oil. And the 5 that have the oil say, no, we're not going to sell it to you, because if we do, then we won't have enough. Better for you 5 to die than for all 10 of us to die because we're short. It's what we call triage, you know, in medicine. Well, that's what we're dealing with here. When you're dealing with famine, for crying out loud, you know you've got food and I don't. So I come over to you and I say, Bob, I'm hungry and I don't have any food. And you say to me, well, sorry, George, you should have stocked up when food was available. I've got enough food for me and my family, but I don't have enough for you and your family and me and my family. So therefore, why don't you go home, George, and starve to death and die quietly, please. Don't make a lot of noise. Okay. I'm sitting over here, and I'm looking over here at your place. You got food, I don't. And without it, I'm going to starve to death. You know, that just leaves me with one option. I got to go over to your place, Bob, and take yours away from you. It's nothing personal. It's just, in order for me to survive, I've got to kill you, Bob, and take your food. And that's the way these corporations are, you know. It's either we've got to deny it and all you farmers out there take it in the shorts, or we have to admit liability and we take it in the shorts, and that's going to kill us. And so therefore, it's nothing personal, farmers. You know, it's us or you. It's you or me. And I'd just soon you die rather than me. All right, so if you're expecting any of these corporations now to admit any liability, you know, you got the head, your head up the wrong end of your anatomy again. That isn't going to happen. Now, I'm just scratching the surface. Here in the book, there are dozens of these examples throughout the story that this guy Jeffrey Smith has gone out and dug out the information and reported it. Now, I can only give you the tip of the iceberg. I'm just kind of giving you some of the highlights of the problems that we're all facing here with this genetic roulette. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, remember, the law hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.